But Psalm 36, and let us hear the word of God. We'll read from verse 1 and make our way to our text. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Amen. We'll end our reading there and pray the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts tonight. Would you bow with me briefly and ask for his help? Our Father in heaven, we come once more asking for thy blessing upon the reading and upon the preaching of thy word. Lord, we come helpless. Again, we confess that we can do nothing except you grant us thy help. And Lord, we pray tonight that you will cause us to behold wondrous things out of thy law, that you would cause this text tonight to take root in our hearts, Lord, that it would be planted by thy Spirit, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, that it would grow and we would feel its effects, O God, in various aspects of our days going into this week, Lord. We pray it will be a word that will carry us forth into the week, trusting upon thy faithfulness. And so, Lord, we pray for help. Pray that you would even help my voice, Lord. Help me to speak carefully and not overly strain my voice, Lord. Help me to be wise in this. And we pray that you would help us all to be able to understand what is said, and that thou would give me clarity in speech and power in speech, Lord, and that you will draw near to each and every one of us in our own need and according to our own particular desire tonight in terms of what we need to hear from thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the text, very simply tonight, is a short text, but full of great significance for you and for me, for every single child of God. We find it in verse 5, and it simply reads, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. We are, again, in the midst of a series that I've entitled God's Word on God's World. And again, the reason I've titled it that way is because we are so often blind, or at least negligent, to think upon the things that God has created and see the truth that He has intended them to convey to us. And so we think tonight upon this text and how it says, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds," or as the word is in italics, "Thy faithfulness is unto the clouds." God is setting before His people the great, immense, and incomprehensible nature of His faithfulness as a part of who He is. And we're told that as we look upon the clouds, that we should note that His faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. This is very important for us tonight. What you think about God is foundational to how you walk with God. You can see it in this psalm, but you can also see it in Psalm 77. I think very clearly we see the psalmist here in his walk with God. Again, a psalm of Asaph. And He comes and he asks some searching questions based on what he was dealing with in his life. And you come, and if you break into Psalm 77, verse 7, he's saying here, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. "And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as a God as our God?" And the point I'm making in reading those verses is really the same truth that we see conveyed in many of the Psalms and in various parts of the Lord's Word, that God's people struggle to maintain a right view of who God is. And there's various reasons for that. But often it is based on something that we're facing, something that we're going through, whether it be a bodily infirmity, whether it be some sort of catastrophe that has taken place in the earth, whether it be things that are going on in the world that we simply don't understand how this is taking place when God has said this in His Word, and that was certainly the case with Asaph in Psalm 77. He's struggling to understand what is going on and how is this what's going on, and yet this is what God has said, and he's wrestling over it. And I imagine you've been right there before. I would hazard a guess that there's not one of us here who hasn't been right there before. God has told me this in His Word, but this is what I'm seeing going on around me. But the Spirit of God led Asaph to the right conclusion when he said, "This is my infirmity. This is not a fault with God, this is a fault with me. A limitation on my understanding, a limitation on my perception, a limitation on my ability to comprehend what God is doing and how He is always maintaining His faithfulness to His Word." It's important to recognize that. To recognize that in yourself. For me to recognize that in myself, that is a common experience in the Christian life. And it affects my walk with God. It causes me to despair, as Asaph did, if I don't constantly maintain right thinking about who God is. False thinking about God will lead to great failure and misery in the Christian life. There's many cases of that, but the one that came to my mind, and very obviously to many people's minds, you think of Abraham and Sarah. God had made a promise. It's not happening. We must need to substitute Hagar. And we all know how that went. We're still dealing with the ramifications of that today. And yet they thought this must be necessary. And they're believers at that point. And yet they, because of their faulty thinking at that time about God, they make a mistake in their practice, in their walk. And so tonight, as we're coming to this, we're coming to it very simply for the reason that you and I need to be constantly reminded of who God is, and namely, here tonight, we need to be reminded of His faithfulness. And we need to think upon what that means and remember that God is always only faithful. And so tonight, we're considering The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. And it's hard to fit something so large in one message, but I trust the Lord will give us help to deal with it in a concise manner tonight. And we're taking as our starting point and as our chief focus the words of verse 5, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." And the first thing we want to see then tonight is that God's faithfulness is a part of His being. God's faithfulness is a part of His being. The text very clearly points out that it is thy faithfulness. It may seem incidental, but the psalmist is by no means being incidental when he calls this faithfulness God's faithfulness. It is uniquely His faithfulness. It is the faithfulness that is a part of His being. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's similar to the statement in 1 John, God is love. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. So God's faithfulness is a part of His being. It is a part of who He is. He cannot but be faithful. God's faithfulness is uniquely His own, in other words. It is His unfailing faithfulness. It's a part of His being, so He cannot but be faithful. Now, we need a definition of faithfulness before we go any further. And I'm sure we could think of, if we searched high and low, could maybe find perhaps a better one. But here's at least an attempt to define God's faithfulness in a way that I believe is biblically accurate. If we were to define faithfulness, but we do need to know what that means, we might could say that it is God's unchanging, uncompromising adherence to His perfect nature in all He says and does as Creator, Redeemer, and Judge. His unchanging, uncompromising adherence to His perfect nature in all He says and does as Creator, Redeemer, and Judge. In other words, when the Bible says that God is faithful, it is saying that He is faithful not only to who He is as a part of His being, but He's faithful in the sense of all that He says and all that He does as Creator, Redeemer, and Judge. And we see this all throughout the Scriptures. It is why we can trust this Bible, because the one who inspired the men who wrote it and really wrote through them is faithful. God is faithful. Faithfulness is a part of His being. And He's faithful as Creator, Redeemer, and Judge. Well, let us just think upon that for a moment. God is faithful in all of His words. That's very clear from the Word of God, isn't it? God is faithful in all of His words. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie. God is not a man that He should lie. In other words, it's not only that God doesn't lie, God can't lie. And people often have struggled thinking about this, but there are things that God can't do. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot do something that is not in accordance with who He is. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just and all the various attributes of God that we may think of. But when we think of His faithfulness, He cannot be untrue. He cannot lie. He is faithful in all of His words. This becomes important in so many areas. Becomes important when we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? That the good news is not only good news because of what it's about, it's good news because of who has told us how we may be saved. Because since it comes as a message from God, we know that it is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that is said to believers, but it is also true when we think of even conversion and coming to Christ. Why are you able to confidently come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because He is faithful that promised, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." But that's just in regards to the gospel. I mean, as significant as that is, it regards all the things that God has said. And this is not a study upon all the various verses that we could look at, but it is this basic fact in regards to the faithfulness of God, that as it is a part of His being, everything that flows from Him is faithful. His words are always faithful. God cannot lie. But God is also faithful in all of His works. Not only faithful in His words, but faithful in His works. He doesn't just say something that doesn't then match up with His actions. He is faithful in all of His works. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. This becomes very significant in the life of a believer. Think of the significance of this statement regarding a believer struggling with unbelief. It's as much like Jairus and his daughter when he says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Now you think upon that. That even Asaph's struggle with unbelief, because that's what he's struggling with back in Psalm 77 that we read at the beginning. He's struggling with unbelief. He's struggling with how to reconcile all the various things that are going on around him and what God has said in His Word. And yet we are told here, if we believe not, or we might paraphrase it, if we are struggling with unbelief, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." He cannot deny Himself. In other words, those whom He has purchased, He will never put away. God didn't come to Asaph and say, "Well, Asaph, since you are struggling and since you don't get it, I'm just going to cast you away." No, God preserved him. And God caused him to be led to the realization, "This is my infirmity." God is always faithful. But He's faithful in all of His works. And that means He's faithful in the work He's begun in us. As we know, you think even of the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." That thrill your soul tonight. That the one who calls you to Christ is the one who is faithful to conform you to Christ, who will never leave you nor forsake you. God is faithful in all of His words. He's faithful in all of His works. Now, we've been speaking of redemption, but as I noted in the definition, this applies even to God as Creator. God as Redeemer and God as Judge. He's faithful as a Redeemer. He's faithful as a Creator. Our Lord Jesus says this, that God makes the sun to rise upon the just and the unjust. Why? Because He is gracious to all of His creatures as a faithful Creator. He has determined to do good unto His creation in spite of their sin, and therefore He remains faithful to do that all the time. That's why the sun arose this morning. Not only because His people are on the earth, but because He is gracious to all of his creatures, even those who despise him. Faithful in all of his works. He's faithful as judge. We're told Psalm 96 in verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Now that should bring about sobriety in every living person on this earth, because as God has said it in his word, he will come and he will judge the world with righteousness. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There will be a judgment day. God has promised that it will be so, and he is faithful to perform that which he has promised. Faithful in all his works. You think of this in regards to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 15, when the psalmist David asked, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he describes the perfections of one who is really, it would seem from the psalm, sinless. And so I believe it's pointing us to Christ. But it says there in verse 4 of chapter 15 in Psalm 15, part of the characteristics of this one who I believe is being pointed to as Christ. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now that is true most of all of our Lord Jesus Christ. One who swore to save his people from their sins. And though he would face, as we thought of this morning, an eternity's worth of wrath upon all the sins of all his people, though it would be to his own hurt, yet he faces all the brunt of that, all the suffering of that, and changes not, because he is faithful. God's faithfulness is a part of his being. Now, before we move on from that point, I simply want to make a simple application to us, is this very thing. God's faithfulness is something his people should strive to imitate. As you think upon God as faithful, that should be something that we strive to imitate, even as our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect, sinless picture of faithfulness. Even in Psalm 15, how we would seek to imitate the various characteristics of Christ that are portrayed there. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. But I say this because we are told in Ephesians 5 to be ye followers of God as dear children. That's what we're told in Ephesians 5:1. Be ye followers of God, or you could translate that word, imitators of God, as dear children. In other words, those who are children of God are those who seek to imitate God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now we say, well, I can never be perfect. I can never be God. Well, the word I believe there is more pointing to uprightness in terms of God's dealings, because it actually comes off the back of God making the sun to rise upon the just and the unjust, the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. But the point is very clear to us that as we see faithfulness in God, in all that he says and all that he does, so we should strive by God's grace to be a people who imitate faithfulness, to be a people who keep our word, to be a people who commit ourselves to serve God. And, you know, you even think about this in terms of consecrating ourselves to Christ and taking up our cross and following him. You know, that whole picture there is really one of an oath. I am oathing myself to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though it be to my hurt, I am to be faithful to my Lord and follow Him, even though it may cost me everything. That's imitating the faithfulness of God. That's imitating faithfulness. And on we could go, but you see this in our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is faithful in His ministry, and so ought His people to be faithful in all that God calls us to do, faithful in our dealings with one another. If God is faithful to us, we ought to be faithful to one another. We ought not to backbite or gossip or slander or break our word with one another. We ought to imitate faithfulness. God's faithfulness is a part of His being. But also, note with me here from Psalm 35, God's faithfulness is beyond human comprehension. God's faithfulness is beyond human comprehension. When the psalmist says, "Thy faithfulness reacheth or is unto the clouds," we're being given a picture there that God's faithfulness is beyond what we can reach. You and I can't reach the clouds. They're far above us. We're not able to attain unto the heights of the sky. We can look and we can see, and yet the word translated clouds in other places is even translated heavens. So I think it's lawful for us to here not only think of the clouds, but even the heavens itself, even beyond our sight. God's faithfulness reaches beyond our sight. Though it reaches to the clouds, as it is translated here, we can also think about it reaching beyond our comprehension. That's the point. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So it's beyond human comprehension. And that's important because of what we were reading at the beginning. The reality of God's faithfulness goes beyond your ability to fully perceive His faithfulness. That's a crucial thing to understand. God's faithfulness, in other words, is not solely based on my ability to perceive and comprehend His faithfulness. His faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. His faithfulness reaches out of my sight. You think of the words of Job here in regards to God's faithfulness. You remember what Job said, and oh, how this would have been an anchor for Job's soul as he went through the great fight of afflictions that he faced. Think of these words in Job 23, verse 8. He said, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now you think upon that. Job is saying here, I cannot perceive where God is in my present condition. I cannot perceive Him. I know He's there. I know He's working. But I can't perceive it. But what is Job saying here? I know He is faithful. I know He is working. I know when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what you and I have to remember. All the days of our lives. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. To remember that No matter the limitations of my perception of a situation or a time in my life, whatever it may be, God never ceases to be faithful. So that the words of Isaiah to those who walk in darkness and hath no light, Isaiah 50 verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." That's the response to darkness for the believer. That is how we have to respond, because the alternative response is unbelieving misery and confusion and distrust. When we are not able to comprehend and fully perceive His faithfulness, He abides faithful. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God is faithful in the details that you nor I can fathom. Because that's what we have to confess here. As you think upon the difficulty of this and applying this, and I know there are times that it's greatly difficult to work through the Word of God and the providence of God. But we must humble ourselves and confess God is faithful in the details that you nor I cannot fathom. I can't fathom all the details of a situation. And yet He knows them all. Every aspect of every day of my life, everything that I could never think of, He knows it. And He's faithful in every detail that I can't even begin to comprehend or see. Isaiah tells us this as well. Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so in all the details that you and I, even the ones we can see, and we can't see how everything is adding up, He abides faithful. God's providence never contradicts His promises. That's what we have to remember. His providence never contradicts His promises. You put yourself in Simeon's shoes, and you're waiting for the redemption that is to come. You're waiting for the promise of Messiah. And we were in Galatians not all that long ago thinking upon this. But you think of the darkness of the day, the wickedness of the Jewish people at this time, and how they had so polluted the truth, how they had so corrupted what they had received from God in terms of the truth about Messiah and the need for the redemption of man, and how the Romans are even preparing and plotting to take over the nation. What would you have done but question, is this ever going to come to pass? Is God ever going to send the Messiah? And yet, He lives to see it. And He and Anna and Zechariah, they all live to see it. So that Zechariah is able to say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." But how long did they wait for that? And you and I, we live in a day We live in a time where there's a lot going on that doesn't make sense to us. How can this be happening? How can that be happening? Why is the church in the condition that it's in our nation? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? That's the thought that arises. And yet we come back to this truth, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So, resolve to never murmur, but rather marvel. Resolve to never murmur, but marvel. I say marvel because rather than murmuring, and rather than charging or thinking of charging God with fault, marvel rather at the wonder of how is He going to do it this time? In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. And so let you and I remember that as we look out and we see the needs, and we see the battles, and we see the wicked raging, and we see all the turmoil of the church and the division between brothers and sisters in Christ that's just boiling over in various parts of the world today in our nation, and all the things that are coming against us, let us marvel that He is always only faithful. And He works all things together for good. And let us marvel then and patiently pray and wait upon God to do His work of the miraculous. That's what we need to do. God's faithfulness is beyond human comprehension. That we can trace throughout the Scriptures. But that's the point. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And finally, lastly, God's faithfulness reaches His people wherever they are. God's faithfulness reaches His people wherever they are. If God's faithfulness reaches unto the clouds, it's incomprehensible. It's beyond our reach. It goes beyond that which we can fathom. He is faithful in every detail. He is faithful in every providence and every promise. In everything that He has said and everything that He has promised to do and has done, He is always only faithful. Therefore, God's faithfulness reaches His people wherever they are. It reaches you wherever you are tonight. It reaches you wherever you are tomorrow. It reaches you every single moment of every single day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Think with me here. God's faithfulness reaches to the white clouds and the dark. His faithfulness reaches to the storm clouds. The things that aren't pleasant. You know, just to use the picture that's here in this verse, sometimes it is really, really nice to just behold the clouds. Sometimes the sky is so beautiful and we have the white clouds and it's such a pleasant time, and it's wonderful to think at that time God's faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And I trust you'll do that with this verse. I trust that will go with you this week. But it is also wonderful when there are dark, scary storm clouds to also think, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. He is the God of my life, Psalm 42:8. He is the God of all of my life. and his faithfulness reaches all its parts. So what are the places that God's faithfulness reaches? I want to go through these as we close. God's faithfulness reaches his people even when they are suffering persecution. That's a hard one. That's difficult to understand, and yet it is true. Peter said to the Christians that he was writing to in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, you back up to verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, why was that so important to say to them, that you're kept by the power of God? Because, he goes on, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The background of 1 Peter being that these were a people who were suffering persecution for Christ. And yet we are told that even this trial of their faith was in God's providence to be found unto the perfecting of their faith. Suffering persecution. But God's faithfulness reaches us even when we're sinking in infirmities. Our text for the year tells us that. Even when we're sinking and surrounded by infirmities, my grace is sufficient for thee. I will not forsake thee. That's the point. Even when we are sinking in infirmities, when my body is failing, when our health is deteriorating, he is faithful. When we're enduring affliction, thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That goes right along with chastening. And that's what it is there. Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Why is it a part of God's faithfulness to afflict or to chastise? Well, because, as Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 12 and verse 5, or verse 6 rather, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So the very fact that believers are chastened by God for disobedience or whatever it may be is a sign of his faithfulness to them as his children. God is faithful. His faithfulness reaches even to the times when we're being assaulted by Satan. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because, as he goes on to say, you're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is God who will see us through that. When the devil is assaulting you, God is faithful to sustain you. You remember the part, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan paints it wonderfully. Christian has engaged in battle with Apollyon. And he has his shield, his sword, his helmet, and all the various parts of the armor. And yet in the battle, as he's fighting with Apollyon starts to get the best of him. And Christian grows weak, and he drops his sword, and he drops his shield. He becomes, in a manner, defenseless. And then Christian remembers he has one last resource left, all prayer. And he prays. And God delivers him from Apollyon. all prayer. Prayer is a part of God's faithfulness. Psalm 143, verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Isn't it wonderful to remember tonight that it is a part of God's faithfulness to answer the prayers of His people that are offered in the name of Jesus Christ? So that Christian, as he prays for deliverance from Apollyon, God is faithful to answer that prayer. And so it is for you, and so it is for me. God is faithful. His faithfulness reaches us even when we're betrayed by friends or family. That happens today. Again, a very difficult thing to understand. Why is this happening? Why did they do that? Why did this take place? And yet, Psalm 27, we see this taking place. Psalm 27:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." These are all verses about God's faithfulness. And that is my point simply, that His faithfulness reaches us wherever we are. It reaches us when we're battling with sin. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's faithfulness reaches us when we're going astray. I trust we all feel that one. How often we're found going astray. But the psalmist is able to pray, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Seek me, Lord, for I have gone astray." And the Lord is faithful to seek us and bring us to Himself. His faithfulness reaches to our efforts to advance His kingdom. God will advance His kingdom when and how He sees fit, and He will use our efforts to do so. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God's faithfulness reaches us when we're facing death. So that if you're in Christ, and were I to die tonight, we can rest upon the Word of God and say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Through Christ, there is the victory. And we can rest on that because God has said it. God's faithfulness will carry His people beyond the clouds. Let us make no mistake of that. That tonight, as we remember God is faithful, His faithfulness will carry us beyond the clouds. His faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. He will not leave undone that which He has begun in any sinner that He has brought to Christ. In any sinner that Christ has purchased, He will carry His people to glory. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Psalm 73:24. What is our response to this tonight? We should respond to the faithfulness of God with praise, with sobriety, with confidence in prayer, with comfort that He is always only faithful, with trust that I can trust Him at all times, like Psalm 62:8 says, that He is constantly faithful, even when I am constantly falling and failing, that I can rely upon Him even when I cannot see exactly where He is. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Job was able to say when he lost more than I can ever imagine losing, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How was Job able to say that? I can't imagine going through what he went through. But he's able to say that because he knows God is faithful. May each of us leave here tonight knowing that the God, the true God, the living God, is faithful. And His faithfulness, His trustworthiness, reacheth unto the clouds. And the Lord bless His word. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for a word like this in Psalm 36:5. And Lord, we pray that as we look out upon Thy world, Lord, we would be reminded of Thy word. That we would, even this week, find ourselves thinking upon Thy faithfulness reaching unto the clouds. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts. Give us help as each of us face our own trials and afflictions, our own doubts and discouragements. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to remember that we are weak, Thou art mighty. We are not able to see all the details, and yet Thy faithfulness is in all the details. We pray for help, Lord. Depart us with Thy blessing tonight. Grant us help in this week to share the truth of Thy faithfulness with all around us, with a brother or sister in Christ, as well as with the lost. Lord, that we would be able and faithful to share the gospel, that acceptable word of the truth of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're glad, Lord, that Thou hast not only promised this, but proven this. And we ask that You will write this truth upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.